It was the Stalingrad of Italy, one of the most brutal battles fought in World War II. During Christmas week 1943, the quaint little Italian hill town of Ortona, overlooking the Adriatic Sea, became the bloody battlefield for German and Canadian troops. Hundreds were never to go home. Ted Griffith was one of the few Canadian soldiers to live to tell the story.
The Canadian Army had many battles in Italy, and some of them were much larger than Ortona, but nothing was quite as vicious as Ortona, for the simple reason that Hitler had ordered the Germans to hold the town.
With his gray-white goatee and plump rosy cheeks, Ted looks more like a jovial Burl Ives come Jack Frost than a survivor of one of World War II's fiercest skirmishes. 1,400 of his Canadian comrades weren't so lucky. They're buried in a well-loved and cared-for cemetery on the Ortona hillside. Just as many, if not more, Germans perished in the streets of Ortona, too. Ted was a tank commander as the Loyal Edmonton Regiment and Seaforth Highlanders joined forces with the Three Rivers Regiment when the most bitter combat broke out between December 20th and December 27th, 1943. What makes his story so compelling is the fact that decades later, Canadian and German veterans of the Ortona battle were to meet, hug, and cry together, and most importantly, forgive each other in a reunion of reconciliation. As fate would have it, the Catholic chaplain who helped make that memorable event come about never lived to see the day. But let's go back to the beginning of Ted's story, Ortona, Christmas week, 1943.
It had no tactical significance at all as far as the battle was concerned. But as I say, it just grew in intensity because Hitler had ordered the Germans to hold it.
Now, it's been called by many people the Stalingrad of Italy. There was fighting house to house. The houses were booby-trapped. It must have been a horrific, horrific experience, not just for you soldiers fighting it, but for the civilians themselves.
Yes. The civilians, some had moved out to the countryside. Some of them had moved down into the railway tunnel that was down below the town. But there were quite a number who chose to remain in their homes. And the sad part of it is that the civilian casualties were just as heavy as the military ones. At the moment, the Canadian cemetery at Ortona has 1,375 graves there. The Germans lost more than we did. And the civilians, I believe their losses were approaching 500. You know, for a small town, that is a significant number.
Now, for you as a soldier, it was Christmas time back then. You presumably were very young, I imagine.
Yes.
Many of the Canadian, the Allied troops were very young. What was going through your mind? It was your first, probably your first real military experience, too. Did you ever say to yourself, what am I doing here?
We ask that question every day. You know, the significance of Christmas didn't really dawn on us until Christmas Eve, when we had a small dinner in a partially destroyed church. At that time, one of the soldiers got up and played the organ, and we sang a Christmas carol. That was our first sort of conscious thought that it was Christmas. The very next morning is one that I don't care to remember, but I cannot forget it.
Christmas Day.
Christmas Day. The first chore I had that morning was we were fighting in a small piazza on the north side of town, and The Germans had a machine gun set up near the altar in one church, and the machine gun caught the infantry as they moved across the square, and consequently I had to blow in the front of this church. The infantry then went in and took out the Germans that were left. But that was just the beginning of Christmas morning. There was a hospital next door to it, and they had moved all the patients down into the basement. And the Germans had barricaded the hospital, and they had machine guns set up in there. And in the end, I had to destroy the church, or the hospital, as well as the church. And that was my Christmas morning.
What happened to all of those patients in
the
basement?
The patients were, strangely enough, they all survived. None of them were hurt. They were all in the basement of the hospital. Later in the afternoon, as we gradually cleared the Germans from the square, the line of civilians came out of the hospital, headed by the priest and a little 7-year-old boy behind him, and a number of civilians. They had been all down in the basement of the hospital. And when we went back for our dinner of reconciliation with the Germans in 1998, Angela Arnone brought over a middle-aged man, and she introduced him as the 7-year-old boy who was behind the priest. And of course, he was quite emotional at that point in time when he found out who I was.
But this was the Italian priest of the village.
Yes.
I understand that you had a chaplain with the Canadian troops.
Yes.
And that he actually tried to keep your morale up and he
did indeed.
In very, very difficult situations.
Father Joseph Wilhelm, who later became the Archbishop of Kingston.
In Canada.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. When we... The renewed interest in Ortona stems from Father Wilhelm. At a regimental reunion some years ago, we were all sitting around, as old soldiers do, fighting the battles all over again, and all of a sudden the padre said, "Wouldn't it be a nice idea to go back to Ortona and on Christmas Eve have dinner in the same church that we had Christmas dinner in 1943. And everyone thought it was a great idea, but nothing was done about it. It wasn't until 1998, and sadly the padre had just died at that point in time. We got into the talking about Ortona, and we decided to go see what we could do about getting back there. We came back, and we invited the Germans that we had fought against.
Was that also an idea?
That was the padre's idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was the dinner of reconciliation. And the Germans arrived down, and we did have Christmas dinner in this church, Christmas Eve dinner, I should say, in the church that we ate in 1943. And we spent a week together with the Germans. And since that time, there has been a great interplay between the veterans of the Germans and ourselves, with messages and telephone calls and faxes and so forth. And when I came down to Ortona for the opening of the museum, the Germans came down again as well. So,
what that must have been a very emotional moment for you and
it
your,
was
your
indeed
colleagues.
For all of us.
Especially that Christmas dinner in the church.
That's right.
What did you feel? You were face to face with the men who were holding up guns and tank barrels at you in the Ortona War. What was going through your mind?
Frankly, we took them for what they were, which was soldiers fighting for their country, forgetting the iniquities of the German system at that time. These people were good, clean, fair fighters. They were none of the SS groups that were pretty nasty in all, but this group of Germans from the parachute division were the elite, and they were extremely capable. They fought very hard, and they fought fairly. And there was none of this business of shooting prisoners and so forth that you found with the SS. We found that meeting these people, I think, is best exemplified by Karl Barlein, who was a pioneer, an engineer with the parachute division. He was the man who set the charge and blew the house in which 27 men from the Loyal Edmonton Regiment were killed. And in 1998, at this reconciliation dinner, Barlein said to me, "Sir, I had to come. I had to come and face the men from the Loyal Edmonton Regiment." He said, "I have carried this around all my life." And he said, "I have to face them," which he did. And I'm very pleased to say the people from the Loyal Edmonton Regiment accepted him for what he was, a professional soldier.
Was there any talk of forgiveness at that time?
Yes, there was. It was the dispelling of ghosts of Ortona. We found that the Germans carried as many ghosts around as we did. And we fell together, as I say, two groups of soldiers, recognizing the professional competence of each other, which was extremely emotional. And the tears were flowing down the cheeks of the veterans, both on the German side and our side.
Killing must be something I can't even imagine what one must experience.
Yes, it's
pointing a gun at someone else and then seeing that person fall in front of you.
It's a very nasty business. But the sad part of it is, in war, you become desensitized because every day is the same. The sight of bodies is always present on a battlefield.
You said that both you and your comrades and the German soldiers, for all these years, have been carrying around ghosts.
That's right.
How did that experience, you were also in another war, in the Korean War, How did those experiences change you, do you think?
Well, one ghost that I have carried around, I never thought that I could ever speak of it, and it wasn't really until we got together and started comparing experiences. I was detailed one night, on Christmas Eve night actually, after this dinner, to go up and talk with the infantry platoon commander that I would be supporting in the morning. I went up this dark street and I didn't have the faintest idea where I was. I was looking for him, but I didn't see him. And just by a corner, I stopped trying to orient myself, and I heard some footsteps. And I didn't know where I was for sure. I didn't want to pull my revolver, so I took a commando knife, which I carried, and as this figure approaching came around the corner, I saw the anodized belt buckle that he had, which showed he was a German. I leaned forward very quickly with the knife and gutted him like a fish. And he never uttered a sound, and he fell down against the wall. And I remembered that for the next two or three days, I passed the body a number of times as we moved forward, back and forth. And one day, out of curiosity, I stopped and went through his pockets. And I got his paybook, which showed he hadn't quite reached his 17th birthday. Now that is a ghost I've carried for many, many years. And as I say, it's only been since 1998, reconciling with the Germans and talking things over with our lads who went through the same thing, that I've ever been able to bring this out. I've always carted it around.
How many other war veterans from World War II, or any other war for that matter, have been carting their ghosts around with them for years? Perhaps old enemies should consider reconciliation. A pretty darn good ghostbuster, if you ask me. And my thanks again to Ted Griffith, Canadian tank commander in the Ortona battle. I'm Tracy McClure. Laudator Jesus Christus.